help it here. I don't have a lot of the older I get, the more I need notes. Amen? Yes. Anyway, the bottom line is we want to look and see where our lives don't add up at times. And so we want to do that. And we want to look at this morning. I want to take a look at follow me. When Jesus says, follow me. When I was pastoring down here in Liverpool, I was visiting one of our deacons who was getting ready to have cancer surgery. And there in Harrisburg. And when I went to visit with him, I got ready to pray for him, and I prayed for him. And Carl, he was a vet, and he had been on one of the ships that stopped the ships at the Cuban Missile Crisis. He was one of those guys in the American ships that were waiting to stop those missiles from coming to Cuba. And we were talking, and he says to me with tears, just before he was getting ready to have a surgery, he says, Pastor, I hope I have followed him well. I hope I followed Jesus well. And I went then to the chapel there in the hospital just to spend some hours of prayer for Carl as he went into surgery. And that kept going in my mind, follow me, follow me. And I looked up, there was a big pulpit Bible there, and I picked it up and started looking through and thumbing through. And so this is where this sermon was birthed, out of my pastor's heart for one of my deacons, and also the conviction of my own life. Am I following him? Do I follow Christ? What does it mean when Jesus, you know, are these just words, are these just throwaways, these lines, you know, what would Jesus do type of a line? No, we're going to take a look at different parts of the scriptures where Jesus says, follow me, and what is the context of that? Context is king, isn't it, Pastor? When you're studying the scriptures, what's the context of what does it mean to follow Christ? You know, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they what? They follow me. That's the first thing, follow me. And I don't have a lot of time to open all this up as I'd like to. I got a huge clock sitting down there, and it's just looking at me, so I'm going to keep it moving. I try to be respectful to everywhere I go, especially being a missionary. When I go different places to preach, I am trying to be conscious of the smell of food. So in John chapter 10, 24 through 27, he says that. He says, so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. Strong words. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us to follow you, show us, reform us according to your word, and if it pleases you, give us personal and church revival. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, revival implies the fact that there was life at one time. Amen. I mean, the beauty of it at times is when the church gets revived, people do get saved. But really, the concept of even the Great Awakening that happened in the birth of this country, it was the church being awakened, amen, waking up to truth. And as a byproduct of it, people get saved. That's a wonderful thing. But does God speak to you? Have you heard the voice of Christ? When I got saved in 1980, out of the life I was living, my cousin led me to Christ through the book of Ecclesiastes, because vanity of vanity was my life. That's how I lived it. That's just what I was. And so he brought the word of God to me. And all of a sudden, my eyes started opening up to the truth. This little sheep had his ears circumcised and his heart open to truth. And the shepherd called, and the sheep said, bah! I am broken and I'm caught in the thicket and I can't get loose. And he came and took me out of the thicket and saved my soul. If you're here this morning, have you ever heard, I don't mean audibly, I'm speaking from the Word of God as the Word of God is preached. Does God speak to you? Has the shepherd spoken to you that you are a sinner? Has the songs this morning, as they were sung, powerful truths, have they spoken to your heart? Do they speak to you? Because this passage doesn't mean just a one-off, he spoke to me, I heard his voice one time. It literally is in the Greek. It means continue to hear. When was the last time God spoke to you about something that you are doing and he told you, stop doing that? You know that's wrong. Stop doing that. Or when was the last time the Spirit, the shepherd, through the Holy Spirit, spoke to you and said, you know, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. Is he speaking to you? Do you come through that door anticipating to hear from the Lord? See, this is what we want to do the next 2 days. I haven't listened to my voice preach in 10 years. I hate to hear my voice. I don't like my voice. But I love his voice. I love to hear the shepherd. And what I ask God to do is for you and me to hear the shepherd's voice. The good shepherd. The great shepherd. That's what we look forward to hearing, the good shepherd. Do you recall the last time you were reading your Bible and God spoke to your heart? Or perhaps your heart's been hardened. And by the way, hardening of the heart is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It's like cirrhosis of the hardening of the arteries or the liver. That doesn't happen overnight. That's a process. And the hardening of the heart of a Christian is a process. And every time the shepherd speaks to you and you do not respond, there's a hardening. And every time he speaks to you and you don't respond, there's a hardening. Wake up, church. Wake up and hear the shepherd speak to you. He loves you. And God, the beauty of it was with the Lord. He speaks to us. But he not only just speaks to us, he draws us closest to him. And the people that God draws closest to him are the people that God uses to go out. The one he draws to him, he sends. Abraham. Abraham hears the voice. He draws him to him. He says, now I want you to look at the stars. He says, that's the kind of people, the congregation of people I want to draw to myself. You're going to be part of that. Moses. At the burning bush, he says, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. I am that I am. He speaks to his people. Samuel, even young children can hear from the good shepherd. If you're a child here today, God may speak to your heart and he wants to call you to himself. Are you willing to say, here I am, your servant hears, Lord. Here I am. Isaiah, here am I, Lord. Send me. He draws it. He gets a vision of who God is. Isaiah gets a vision. Who is God? And that's the thing that we want to see the next couple of days. I want to bring before you God. Who he is. For he is worthy. He is worthy to be served. He is worthy to be followed. Good soldiers learn that. As we remember, veterans, you got to have one who you can follow. It's hard not to follow. It's hard to follow somebody who's not worth following. But our shepherd's worth following. Amen. And the more you know him, the more you want to follow him. So, have you heard his voice? Are you hearing his voice? Is he drawing you to him? Is he telling you to reform something in your life? Number two, follow him speaks of self-denial. He says, take up your cross. He called the crowd to him and the disciples in Mark 8:34-37. And he said to them, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what does it profit a man? He gained the whole world and he loses soul. What can a man give in return for his soul? Are you willing to pick up the cross? That's not a popular teaching today. Come to Jesus and get this. Come to Jesus and get that. The prosperity gospel. Come to Jesus and get rich. Come to Jesus and get everything you want. Come to Jesus and you'll always be healthy. That's not true. And it's not true that you're going to have everything. Jesus himself says, not my will but yours. And so, are you willing to pick up the cross? You know, you read your Bible. I remember one time a person said to me, and I was preaching down there in Liverpool, and a guy said to me, he says, man, after one of the sermons, he says, man, preacher, I just want to be an average, normal Christian. I said, let's take a look in the book of Acts and see these normal, average Christians that you want to be. Let me tell you something. I was with some average, normal Christians in Ethiopia, and some of them have given their life in prison. Some of them, and by the way, they're not just by Islamic people. They're imprisoned by the Coptic Church, the Orthodox Coptic Church. That is a cultist type of Christianity, if you will. I was with a man who, actually, we're taking him on now as one of our people that we're sponsoring. And that's what I do. As a missionary, I help the native missionaries do their work. And this man, he was preaching for 18 years in the Coptic Church, and he got a good dose of salvation. And he started preaching the grace-filled gospel of Jesus Christ, and the church got mad at him. And they said, stop. Stop. Now, you have to understand, if you're in Addis Ababa, in Ethiopia, when you are a Coptic priest, you got it made, man. You're on the gravy train. You got a car. You got a nice house. You're popular in the community. And he turned his back on all of that, and they excommunicated him. That wasn't a vacation. You know what that was? That was picking up his cross and preaching the cross of Jesus Christ and not the traditions of men. Are you willing to do that? Some people, picking up your cross is pulling ourselves out. Oh, I think I'll start going to Sunday school instead of church. Or both, maybe. That's a big deal. When was the last time you really got serious about humbling, picking up your cross? See? Follow me and not the agenda of dead people. Jesus said, and that's Luke 9, 57 through 62, and they were going along the road, and someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, and, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury the dead, their own dead. And I don't even have time to expound on these passages of Scripture. But Jesus was not interrupting a funeral. What this man was saying is, let me get my inheritance and then I'll follow you. Because basically, that was the prodigal. The prodigal son came to his father and said, and basically he was saying to his father, I wish you were dead. Give me what I got coming to you. To me, he said, just give me what I got coming to me now. I'm not going to wait for you to die. I want to have it now. And the father said, okay. He gave it to him. He went to a far country. That was how insulting it was that he was to his father. Basically, what Jesus is saying, you know, let the dead, that's their agenda. God's people have a different agenda. See, I've known some young men who said, you know, well, you know, once I get myself financially set, then I'll do something for the Lord. And if you wait till that, you'll never have enough that you're going to go serve the Lord. Am I right? Well, we'll go on the road, you know, and sing for Jesus and do and preach for Jesus if I have enough. I'll be a missionary if I could just get enough. No. That's the agenda of the world. What is our agenda? Our agenda is to do whatever the God has called us to do. We have an Americanized agenda of the gospel. I'll go on. I'll move on. Follow me with the promise of pain. This is what Jesus said to the apostles when he saw them on the side of the lake there in John 21, 18. He says, and truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to, this is Jesus speaking to Peter, so you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you're old, you will be stretched out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This is what he says according to the death that Peter would die in order to glorify God. And after this, Jesus says, follow me. You understand? I mean, this is the way he enticed him. You're going to die. And you're not going to die in a very nice way. So we preach a gospel of the day. Again, it's a prosperity thing. You know, so, well, you're just going to have this and this. Oh, man, this isn't going to be great. Now, it may be. Maybe you'll have all those things. But that's not the promise. The promise truly is, if they hated him, they're going to hate you. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And yet we're afraid to hand out a tract because somebody might say something bad to us. They might be upset with me. We're afraid to invite somebody to church because, well, they may think I'm a radical. Would to God we be a radical for Jesus? Amen. There was a whole bunch of people out there yesterday in either Alabama or Louisiana, wherever they were playing LSU, were playing football in Alabama. And some of those people stayed in bed this morning. They won't be offended. They're worrying about fanatics. They're worrying about us being fanatics. You're going to serve somebody. And you're enthusiastic about something and someone. Let it be about Jesus. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Follow me without the comparison of others, because after Jesus tells this to John, or says this to Peter, Peter says to Jesus, well, what about him? He's talking about John, remember? And he says, what about me? Now, I'd like to give Peter a break and think, you know, Peter was really concerned about John, you know, concerned about his health. No, he just really said, if I'm going to die, what about him? And Jesus said, what's that to you? If I would have him live to our return, follow thou me. You know what Jesus is saying? Don't compare yourself with other people. Those that compare themselves with other people are not wise, the Bible says. A person who's following Jesus is following Jesus and not comparing themselves with other people. If you're comparing, stay in your own lane. You want to get in trouble when you're running a race? Get in somebody else's lane and make a mess. You'll fall, they'll fall, everybody will fall. Stay in your own lane. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. When I used to run track, my dad used to tell me that. Keep your head straight ahead. You get in trouble when you start doing this. Because you know what you're going to do? You're going to go the way you turn your head. Keep your eyes. Moses, he endured seeing him who's invisible. He kept his eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't compare yourself with other people's. That's not wise. Also, follow me regardless of your past. Again, I'm not going to read all these texts. I'm running out of time, but I'll give you the text. Usually I put it up on here. But in Matthew, when Matthew was led to Christ, when Matthew came up in Luke 5, 27, 32, Jesus said to Matthew, he's sitting at the seat of custom, Levi or Matthew. He says, Matthew, Levi, follow me. And the Bible says he ran home and get an extra pair of clothes. He went home. He gathered all his money. What's the Bible say? The Bible says he got up. And he followed him. He responded. And when he followed him, he gave a feast. Remember? He gave a feast. Matthew gave a big feast for Jesus. And he invited all these people. And all the Pharisees are looking in and saying, this guy, Jesus, he eats with sinners. Tax collectors and sinners. And I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. If Jesus has saved you, you put your past behind you. I lived in the world. Joe Biden was my attorney when I was 15. I hope he's not your president, but he was just came out of Syracuse Law School. And I was 15 years old, and I'm standing next to him. He was my attorney. Dude was sharp, man. Nice teeth. Pinstripe suit. If it wasn't for football, I probably would have ended up in jail. And I'm grateful to the Lord saving me. But my past is my past. and I'm grateful. I played quarterback for University of Connecticut, and what's cool about me, I told Dave, what was cool for me was that when I met my wife, I never knew whether a girl wanted to date me because I was a quarterback or not. My wife, a little Puerto Rican gal, come into my life, she could care less. She doesn't know, to this day, she's never watched any football. She doesn't care about any of that. She asked me, she says, "Do you love Jesus?" I said, "I love Jesus." And we had to be chaperoned everywhere we went after that. Didn't kiss her to the day I said, "I do." The point is, my past is my past. And all I have before me is an opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. And so do you. And I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you've done. I could rehearse a lot of garbage. Praise the Lord. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you may even be older. You may have gotten off track. That's what revival does. It gets you back on track. That's what's really cool. You know what we've done? We have called to order a bunch of fallen people who have been born again and perhaps need to be revived. Every one of us at times need to be revived. Every once in a while we have to wake up and say, "Man, where have I been? What have I been doing? Why have I been doing that? I knew better than that." And it's a reminder of what we need to do and where we need to be going. And so we want to do that the next couple of days. Put your past behind you. Matthew did, and he followed Jesus. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Isn't that what Jesus said? "Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." I may have said this here before, but there's something I say oftentimes. When fishermen don't fish, they fight. Remember that. This is something we do. When I was at University of Connecticut, we used to go to this place in New London. It's a bar, another one. That was my lost life. We used to go to this bar, and on there, New London was a place where a lot of fishermen, a lot of fish boats used to go out. Even whalers used to go out of that part of New England. And it was a big thing, a little sign when you walk into this bar, it says, "When fishermen don't fish, they fight." And they loved that. I thought that was great. Some of the big linemen on our team, and I'd like to go there and see who they can get into a fight with. Not me. But I will say this. Church, when church people do not make their business God's business of fishing for people to be saved, they start fishing into the congregation to find people's faults. That's right. The more you don't fish to see people saved, you'll find yourself being all cantankerous and looking at other people in different ways that are not good. We are called. How beautiful are your feet, those who bring glad tidings. Run the race. You know, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not" what? Perish. What is it? Perish. People perish. Did you know that? People perish. We're to be fishers of men. It's our calling. We are to be ambassadors. We are to be ministers of reconciliation. It's our calling. It's what we're called to do. So let us be fishers of men. "Follow me and set aside your idols." When the rich young ruler comes to him and he says, "What do I do? You know, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be pleasing with God?" And Jesus said, "You know, the commandments and so forth." He said, "I did all those things. I've done all those things. You have to understand, I've done these things." And Jesus said, he puts his finger right on it. He says, "Sell all that you have and follow me." And the Bible says what? He went away sorrowful. Why? Because Jesus put his finger on his idol. You know, I find that Paul did that when he was witnessing to people. He found out what people... He did that in Acts 17. He called out their idols. He said, "These are not things to follow." I hope the next couple days, that we put our finger on maybe a couple of our idols, whatever they may be, and get right with God. If you want to be a good witness, you keep an eye. If you listen to people long enough to be a good witness, if you listen long enough, they'll tell you what they worship. And that's what you need to go after. Kindly, respectfully. That's what my cousin did to me. He didn't go to the Romans Road. He went to the book of Ecclesiastes because he knows the way I was living. I was living on 34th and Park Avenue, limousines and all that stuff. He went right to where he needed to show me. And I said, wow, that was my idol. Those things were my idols. And I had to repent of that. What is your idol? What if you put anything or anybody that puts that you set up before God is an idol, and it needs to be dealt with? Follow me, but not afar off. I'll finish with this. The Bible tells us that Peter, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, all of them ran away, they left Jesus. But the night that Jesus was betrayed and they were taking him to do the kangaroo court, you know, the false trials that they were going to put Jesus through, the Bible says that Peter was following him. But what? He followed him afar off. Why? The fear of man. The fear of man is dangerous. And it's one that will destroy your life. And it'll be the persons, or a couple persons in this room maybe today, are more concerned about fearing what people think than what God knows about you. Did you hear that? Not what people think, but what God knows about you. He already knows it. How we need to repent. Let me read this passage to you because I think it's so pertinent what Jesus is saying. They were saying that they were coming to Jesus and they said, you know, who do you think you are? So, you know, we don't believe you. And Jesus says, you can't accept my truth. Why? Because you desire the glory of man and not the glory of God. You can't hear my truth because you seek the glory of man rather than the glory of God. And if there's one thing that will keep you from hearing God's truth the way you should hear it, the way I should hear it, is to have the fear of man. It's a snare. It'll destroy you. I'm going to close with that. Test your life. See where it falls in line here. Pastor, I'll make some of this material available to people that want to all week, the next few days or so. Tonight, I'm going to bring a message, what to do when you don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do, Jehoshaphat. And he clearly says that. Neither know we what to do, Lord. And we're going to look at that from the Scriptures. Let's pray. Father God, challenge our hearts, each and every one of us. Help us to be fishers of men and not fishers of others' faults. Help us people, to be the people who will set aside our idols and who will indeed seek to pick up our cross and follow you. Give us ears to hear and a heart to obey for your honor, for your glory. Pastor.